You are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, learn, serve, and grow together in God's love. You can join us Sunday mornings for contemporary worship at 9 a.m. or for traditional worship at 11 a.m. During the summer, we meet for worship at 9:30 a.m. For more information, you can visit us online at covenantmadison.org.
So this is the second week in our sermon series on the little books of the Bible, short books that stand out in our minds and leave an impression on us after we've read them. Charlie started us off last week with James, a dense and rich letter. This week's book isn't memorable for its theological density or poetic language, but really is mainly memorable because a person got eaten by a big fish. It's remarkable, it's vivid, it's absurd, it's awesome, and for that reason, it's really a very good children's story. So I'm going to tell right now the story of Jonah as I remember hearing it through my entire life. God says, do something. Jonah says, I don't want to, and he runs away from God. So God makes a storm, and Jonah gets thrown into the water. A fish eats him, and he spends 3 days in a fish belly saying, I'm sorry. The fish pukes him up, and then God again says, do something. Jonah does the thing. Everyone's happy. Now, one thing I love about Jonah is that it's a really funny story. You know, in the middle of the storm that everybody knows is Jonah's fault, really, Jonah's still sleeping unaware in the bottom of the boat, just snoring away while everybody's doing all the work. When Jonah goes to Nineveh and tells them about God's coming judgment, the king repents and says, let's put all of our animals in sackcloth and have them repent too. It's, you know, like a sheep saying, I'm sorry. Frankly, there's a giant fish that eats Jonah. That's funny. But that's one thing I love about Jonah. Another thing I really love is that it's not just about a reluctant prophet, but it's about an unrepentant one. Listen to the words of Scripture. This is Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. I called to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. How shall I look again upon your holy temple? The waters closed in over me, the deep surrounded me, weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever, yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. As my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you in your holy temple. Those who worship vain idols forsake their true loyalty, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. This is a beautiful prayer that stands out in the middle of the book with this repentant prophet praying for deliverance. Now, I even have a figure, it's kind of a crystal figure in my office that is from this chapter in Jonah. So you can see there's the penitent prophet deep in prayer while inside the body of the fish. And I'm glad I have that in my on my shelf. It helps me remember to be prayerful, even in my darkest moments. But Jonah's journey doesn't end with the prayer. God gave him another chance to do the right thing, and he followed through, and he preached in Nineveh, just as he said he would do. But then he blew it again. Listen also to what he had to say to God. This is the same God he prayed to after God promised deliverance to the Ninevites, the people who Jonah hated. He prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. So basically, Jonah is saying, hey, God, the reason I tried to run from you is that I wanted you to commit genocide against the Ninevites. But because you are merciful to them, I want you to kill me. This is not a good reaction. So Jonah is one of my favorite books of the Bible. But honestly, it's probably because Jonah is one of my least favorite characters in the Bible. But I'm worried that I'm Jonah right now. Frankly, I'm worried that we're all Jonah at this moment, that we as a culture, as a people, as a church, have spent so much time running away from the truth of racism and white supremacy, the truth that has plagued our country for so long, that we've run away from it until finally we're awoken in the bottom of the boat to a huge storm of our own collective making. Now, God has spoken to us, to me, the church, the country, time and again to arise and pursue justice, but we've gotten up and run the other way. Hopefully, as I look around, it seems like we have now woken up in the boat. Also, it feels like I'm in the belly of the fish, that I know I've done something wrong, that I've done harm, that I've not stood up loudly or strongly enough. And so, like Jonah, and like a lot of people are right now, I'm repenting. I'm repenting of the ways in which I've contributed to a society with systems that oppress, of the ways that I've benefited from that oppression without saying anything about it, of the ways in which I've stayed silent or not spoken loudly enough to seek truth and justice. I think we're seeing this as a culture. Finally, a recognition of the harms caused to our black and brown siblings, the historical harms that persist to this day, that have been perpetuated in cycles. And I hope that what we're seeing right now is a movement towards repentance. But the danger in being Jonah in chapter 2, stuck in the belly of the whale and repenting, is that we can really easily become Jonah in chapter 4. It's really easy to feel sorry in the hard times when we're finally forced to face the truth. It's a lot harder to feel sorry or to do the right thing when things don't go the way we want or expect them to. It's easy to do the right thing when repentance looks like going to marches or posting to social media or joining book studies. It's a lot harder when it looks like coming to a new understanding about the future of policing in our country. It's a lot harder when it looks like making changes to the fabric of our justice system to better serve vulnerable people. It's a lot harder when it looks like giving up our platforms, our privilege, and opportunities to help provide people of color a space to thrive. It's easy to be Jonah in chapter 2 when we're stuck in the belly of the fish. But then by the time chapter 4 rolls around and things aren't going our way, it gets a lot harder. But we as individuals, as Covenant Presbyterian Church, as the Presbyterian Church, as a country, are in a time when we cannot afford to be Jonah in chapter 4. We need to be the kind of person that Jonah should have been after that fish spat him back up on dry land. Now, by God's grace, we are given an opportunity to stand up and envision a new world, a more just world. And it needs to continue even after we get spat up onto whatever dry land looks for us right now. We need to continue in our repentance and keep seeking justice, especially once the rubber hits the road. But we have an advantage over Jonah. Jonah's temper tantrum came because he hated the Ninevites and knew that God would be merciful Jonah's rebellion was because he didn't like the character of God, that he didn't like what he knew about God. And like Jonah, we know God to be merciful, but unlike Jonah, we hope for God's mercy and justice. And so we go into this time hoping that God will transform our worlds and transform our hearts so we can continue to fight for justice and peace. The change of heart for Jonah was temporary and only lasted as long as God did what Jonah wanted. Our goal should be to do the hard work of staying committed, even if it looks different than what we expected or is even harder than we anticipated. We're in the belly of the fish right now, friends, convicted of our need for repentance, of our trust in God's deliverance. But we can't abandon that conviction when things get hard. Let's carry that conviction with us, celebrating that God truly is gracious and merciful, and celebrating that when God's grace and justice and mercy take forms that we don't understand. Amen.